Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Fear not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of the chapter there, knowing that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all. Please turn again to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verses 12 and 13, we'll read those verses again. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the privilege of reading thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, now that you would come and fill us afresh with the gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, to rightly divide thy truth. We thank thee, Lord, for these great aspects of salvation that we have been considering these past Sunday evenings. And, O God, we just pray now again that you would come and reveal thy truth to us. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the great gift salvation is. We thank thee for the wonderful subject of God's redemption. And, O God, we thank thee that we've been bought with a price. And that price, of course, was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And, O God, we thank thee for giving us thy so great salvation. Lord, it's so great that we cannot fully understand it. So great, Lord, that we cannot fully fathom what we have received. But, O God, we just humbly come before thee tonight, lifting up our hearts to thank thee for saving us. Those of us who are saved tonight, Lord, we're so thankful. And while there are many things that we may not fully understand about your wonderful redemption. For Lord, it's all of grace. We thank thee that we're saved by grace, for by grace are ye saved. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why, Lord, there are many aspects of thy so great salvation that we cannot fully grasp. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy word and for the knowledge that you have given to us. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the hidden things of God. Therefore, to this end, I pray that you'll come and fill us with your gracious Holy Spirit and bless your word to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Over these past Sunday evenings, we have been considering God's wonderful salvation, the different aspects of God's salvation. And we have covered most of these wonderful aspects: saving faith, evangelical repentance, regeneration, justification, and adoption. We do confess that in the messages we have preached, there's still much more to learn and much more to study in the subjects that we have covered. But I do pray that they have given you a little appetite to want to know more about what God has done for you, child of God. There's no greater blessing than to be blessed with God's salvation. And really and truly, it's up to you and I as individuals to search the Scriptures and to study the Scriptures on these matters and find out in a greater way what the Lord has done for us. Tonight we come to sanctification, and we want to deal with this subject as we believe it is revealed in the Word of God. Now, of course, down through the centuries in the Christian Church, there have been many different opinions concerning the doctrine of sanctification. And great men have differed when it has come to this aspect of salvation, the aspect of sanctification in redemption. And of course, two of the greatest men in the church that we would be familiar with, John Wesley and George Whitfield, men that both saw a great work done for God, they agreed in many points, but when it came to the doctrine of sanctification, they differed, and they differed greatly. But very simply tonight, I want to teach you what I believe the Bible teaches about the Christian's sanctification. And I want to set it before you as simply as I possibly can, because it's so important that we get a grasp of this very, very important doctrine, this very, very important aspect of our salvation. And I pray that the Lord will write his word upon your heart and upon your soul. Now, as we come to consider sanctification, there are five things very quickly and very briefly that I want you to notice about sanctification in the life of the Christian. First of all, I want to say this, and this is very important, and this is where good men differed in the past, and good men still differ today. Sanctification is a work and not an act. Now, we have learned so far that justification is an act of God's free grace. And what that simply means in justification is this, that once a person is saved, they're saved immediately. It's an act. It takes place in a moment of time. The moment you and I were saved, we were completely saved. We were eternally saved. You and I will never be any more saved than we are now if you're a Christian. Now, it's true that someday we're going to go home to heaven and we're going to see the Lord. And We're going to enter into our eternal rest, but we will never be any more saved than we are now. And that's because of the act of justification, that God has saved us in a moment of time. But sanctification is completely different, because sanctification is a work of God's free grace. The Shorter Catechism says this: sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. In other words, sanctification in the life of the Christian is a gradual process. And that's what I believe the Word of God teaches. Sanctification, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 36, verse 27, we read these words: "And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." And 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, "Through sanctification of the Spirit." Therefore, sanctification means dying unto sin and living unto righteousness. It means growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. It means yielding our lives to the will of God and to the Word of God. Look at Romans 6, verse 4. It says there in that verse, "Even so we also should walk in newness of life." Verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." Therefore, sanctification is a gradual process, and it's so important that we understand that. And as we develop this message tonight, I hope and pray that we will get a deeper understanding of the work of sanctification in the life of the Christian. Many Christians today are not growing in their Christian lives spiritually, because they're not dying unto sin, not dying unto self. The reason for this is because they refuse to turn away from known sin in their lives. You see, the work of sanctification means turning away from known sin in our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit revealing unto us how we should walk in this world of sin and how we should live in this world of sin. And as the Holy Spirit reveals God's truth to us, then we turn and we obey the word of the Lord. So it's important that we learn that sanctification is a work of God's free grace. Justification is an act of God's free grace. Now, the second thing I want to say is this: sanctification begins in the sinner's life at conversion. Sanctification begins in the sinner's life at regeneration. In other words, when we get saved, the work of sanctification begins in our lives. At conversion, God implants a new nature within us. Indeed, when we read Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 23 to 25, we learn this great truth. Just turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and take a look at verse 23 to 25 and read these words. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." You can see there how at conversion, the sinner receives the new nature. The nature of God. We're born from above. That's what it means to be born again. God gives us his perfect nature. And when we receive God's perfect nature, then we have a desire to walk in holiness and to live for the Lord and to turn away from sin and to seek the Lord day by day in our Christian lives. But although we have the new nature, when we're saved, God gives us this new nature, we have still the old nature within us. And of course, the Apostle Paul spoke about these two natures. He spoke about the new nature warring against the old nature and the old nature warring against the new nature. But the Word of God clearly teaches us that at conversion, this work of sanctification begins in the life of the sinner. See, the moment you were saved, you received the nature of God. Isn't that a wonderful miracle? It's something that we cannot fully understand. Something that we cannot fully grasp. But that's what it means to be born again, to be born from above. You see, sanctification begins with an inward change at conversion. If it does not, then all you have is good works without salvation. There are many people today who seek to live good lives. They're not saved. They know nothing of the new birth. They know nothing of the work of sanctification in their lives. But they seek to live good lives, and they seek to live upright, and they seek to do good works. But of course, they're not saved, and they're not changed. But the child of God, the one that's saved by God's grace at conversion, this work of sanctification is begun in their life. And the reason it is begun in their life is because they are born again of the Spirit of the Lord. Over there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, we read these words. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So sanctification is a work of God's free grace. It's not an act. Justification is an act. Sanctification begins the moment the sinner is saved by the grace of God. God's Holy Spirit enters into them and they're born from above. And that work of sanctification is begun in the life of the Christian. Now, there's something else I want to say. The Holy Spirit uses means in sanctification. Turn over for a moment to John chapter 17. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 17. This, of course, is the great high priestly prayer of the Savior. And as he prays for his people. He prays for his disciples. He prays for his saints. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed when he was upon this earth. He prayed this: sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The means by which the Holy Spirit makes use of for the promotion of holiness in the life of the Christian are the following: the reading of the Word of God, the hearing of the Word of God, the meditation upon the Word of God, and prayer. And that's why the Bible emphasizes the importance of the Scriptures of truth in the life of the Christian. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God in order to sanctify our lives day by day. That's why it's so important for us to read the Bible. One of the reasons why, the main reason why many of God's people backslide is because they fail to read the Word of God and meditate upon the Scriptures of truth and obey the Word of God. And of course, they stop praying. And you know, child of God, that could happen to any of us, preacher included. If we closed the Bible and neglected the reading of God's Word week by week and month by month, if we never lifted our Bibles down to read the Word of God and to seek to learn the Word of God and seek to live according to God's Word, then we would grow cold in our Christian lives. And more than that, we would backslide and we would eventually go back into the sins of this old world again. The Word of God is so important in the life of the Christian. And the Word of God is so important in regards to this work of sanctification
in the life of the child of God. If you want a sanctified life, if you want that work of sanctification to be done in your life day by day, in other words, if you want to turn away from sin, if you want to live a holy life, then it is imperative that you read God's word, that you obey God's word, and that you seek to live according to the truth that is contained in the word of God. Because as you and I read the word of God, the Holy Spirit will take the word of God and apply it upon our lives, and apply it upon our lives day by day. And that's the means by which the Holy Spirit, the means by which our lives are sanctified day by day. And of course, prayer is very important as well, because we are exhorted that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, there are things that will hinder our sanctification. I've already mentioned the neglect of reading the Word of God. We could also add to that the neglect of prayer. I know that we're living in very busy times and there's so much for us to do. So many duties press in upon us. The child of God, young Christian, older Christian, it's so important that we set aside a time every day for reading and praying. Now, I know that's a very general thing to say, but my friend, that's the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. I've already emphasized that here is the area whereby many of God's people grow cold and backslide. First of all, they stop applying God's word in their own lives. They just read the word of God out of a ritual. And then, of course, if the word of God is not blessing your heart, if you're not applying God's word to your own soul when you read it, then you stop reading it altogether. You stop praying. And you grow cold and you backslide. And this is one way whereby our lives are hindered in this work of sanctification. Allowing things to enter into our minds that are unholy. And of course, that's why we need to watch. We need to be careful what we watch in television and read in papers. Because instead of filling our minds with God's word and God's truth, we can fill our minds with the things of this old world. And that's another way whereby sanctification, this work, can be hindered in the life of the Christian. Missing out fellowship with God's people. That's another way. You see, as I have emphasized time and time again from the pulpit here, God has given us means whereby we can grow in the knowledge of Christ. And God has given us means whereby we can walk with Him. And the Word of God, the reading, prayer, but also the fellowship of God's people. Because when we meet with God's people, especially in the prayer meeting, and we pray, that strengthens us. When we hear others praying, that strengthens us. Indeed, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And that's why when young people get saved, especially, we exhort the young people not only to read their Bible, not only to pray, but to be continually in the fellowship of God's people, and especially the prayer meeting. Because when you use the means of grace that God has given to you, then that work of sanctification is done in your life. In other words, you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you want to backslide, then stop reading your Bible, stop praying, get out of the fellowship of God's people, and fill your mind with all the rubbish of the day. And you'll be sure of growing cold in your Christian life. And instead of your life and your walk with God, instead of it being sanctified, then it will be a turning again to the beggarly elements of this world. So sanctification is a work. It's not an act. Sanctification begins the moment the sinner is saved. The Holy Spirit enters into them. They're born of God. And that work of sanctification begins. And the Holy Spirit uses the means of God's word. He uses the means of prayer. He uses the means of fellowship day by day and week by week among God's people in order to develop that work of sanctification in our lives. Now, something else I want to emphasize here about sanctification. Every Christian should aim for perfection. Now, you and I will not be perfect until we get home to heaven. We will not be sinlessly perfect until we get home to heaven. Now, this is one of the areas where great men of the past and men of the present differ. Because those who believe in entire sanctification upon this earth believe that you can be sinlessly perfect upon this earth. Well, friend, your minister is not sinlessly perfect. Now, he would like to be sinlessly perfect, but he's not. And I have news for you, child of God. You're not sinlessly perfect either. Because you and I will not be sinlessly perfect until we get home to heaven. Now, if you believe that sanctification is an act, then you believe in sinless perfection. But if you believe that sanctification is a work of God's free grace, then you believe that you will not be entirely sanctified. You'll not be perfect until you get home to heaven. But having said that, every Christian should aim for perfection. Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Paul said, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." 1 Peter 1, verse 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Here we have, I believe, the aim of the Christian. The aim of the Christian is to aim for perfection. However, having said this, as we have already emphasized, no Christian in this life can be sinlessly perfect. In Psalm 130, verse 3, it says, "If thy Lord shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand?" And that is the truth of the matter. If the Lord was to mark iniquity, not one of us would stand before him. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Galatians 5, verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth after the spirit, and the spirit after the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And when Paul wrote those words, of course, he was writing to the Christians at Galatia. James 3, verse 2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." But my friend, is there anyone here tonight who hasn't offended in word? I'm not talking about even the deeds, the sinful deeds that we do. The truth is, the Word of God teaches us that even the child of God every day sins in thought, in word, and in deed. And of course, the greatest reference to this is 1 John 1, verse 8 to 10. Because in that portion of Scripture, John, of course, is writing to God's people. And this is what the Apostle says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 John 1, verse 8. We read these words. They say, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Now, John there wasn't writing to heathens. He wasn't writing to the unconverted. He was writing to the saints of God. Those who had been saved, justified, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those who had been cleansed from their sin by the blood of Christ. And yet he emphasizes to them here, if we who are the redeemed of God, if we, the saints of God, if we say that we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, and child of God, the truth is there are times in our Christian lives when we have to confess our sins. And the reason for that is because we're not perfect. The old man is still there. And the old man has not been eradicated. And the old man will remain there until we get home to heaven, until we get home to glory. But that does not mean that we do not strive for perfection. And certainly, it does not give us, as God's people, a license to sin. And of course, Paul brought this out in Romans chapter 6. Take a look what he says there in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we say? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? Or shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, your servants, his servants, ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Paul there is emphasizing that although we will not be sinlessly perfect until we get home to heaven, that does not mean that we should not turn away from sin. In fact, the Christian, the true child of God, the one who is truly born again of the Spirit of God, as soon as they sin, they will be convicted of their sin because the Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin. Is that not what happened to Peter? You remember when he denied the Lord with those and curses, and after the cock crew, the Lord looked at him. Peter saw the Lord, and just at that point, the Lord smote him, and he came under conviction of sin. And the Bible tells us at that point he went out and he wept bitterly. Why did he go out and weep bitterly? Because he recognized that he had sinned against the Lord. And of course, David was the same when he sinned and committed adultery with Bathsheba. And you remember Nathan faced him with his sin, and God smote David, and David, of course, admitted his guilt, and he confessed his sin, and of course the Lord forgave him it. But the point I'm making is that even these godly men who lived and served the Lord, there was times in their lives when they failed. And the reason why they failed was because sanctification is a work and not an act. If it was an act, that means from the moment we were saved, we would never sin again. My friend, you can see the foolishness of thinking that sanctification is an act. Sanctification is a work. But may the Lord give us the grace. May the Lord give us the grace day by day to walk in holiness of life. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's why when we pray day by day, and of course there are many things that we should pray for as Christians. And I know the message tonight in the main is to God's people. There's many things we should pray for. And one of the things that we should pray for is, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Now, that's one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. That's one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Now, why would you need to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil? Why would you need to pray that if you were sinlessly perfect, if you couldn't sin? Gee, you wouldn't need to pray that. You wouldn't need to pray that. But even our Lord, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray and what to pray, he taught them to pray that they would not enter into temptation, because the Lord knew that throughout the life of the Christian, there would be temptation to fall into sin. There would be temptation to yield to sin. But we need to pray in these days, Lord, may that work of sanctification be done in my life day by day, hour by hour. And when we're faced with sin and temptation, that's when we need to pray it even more. Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Young Christian, do you pray that? Lord, deliver me from evil. Older Christian, do you pray that day by day? But there's not one of us that can't fall into sin, that can't fall into grievous sin. And you know, one of the curses in this land, when you consider the Church of Jesus Christ, is how many backsliders there are in Ulster and across this world. People who used to walk with the Lord. And we need to pray for backsliders. And we need to pray that God restores them. And God can restore them because he's married unto the backslider. Thank God for that. And the truth is, child of God, each and every one of us has backslidden in our lives. Now, we may not have gone right into the world again, but each and every one of us know what it is to grow cold in our Christian lives. Every one of us. And we have all been there in one extent or another. And we need to pray that God would restore the backslider. But there are many of them. Many of them. And that work of sanctification is not being done in their lives, for they have yielded their members unto sin instead of yielding their members unto truth and unto righteousness. Oh, how every Christian should aim for perfection and pray for perfection, that the Lord will help us to die unto self and sin and live unto righteousness. There's one final thought. I hope that these thoughts tonight are helping you a little bit to understand this aspect of salvation, this aspect, sanctification in the life of the Christian. It means being holy. It means seeking to live an upright, godly, righteous life. And the Lord will help us if we read his word and pray. If we neglect not the means of grace, the Lord will do that work of sanctification in our lives. But we must walk with him. And we must turn away from known sin in our lives. And we must pray that the Lord will give us grace to turn from evil and to turn from sin. Turn over just for a moment to Romans chapter 8. I want you to notice also sanctification, it springs from the cross. Now all these blessings in salvation, they all spring from the cross. Saving faith, evangelical repentance, regeneration, justification, adoption, sanctification. They're all ours tonight. If we're saved, they're all ours because of the cross, because of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished and made on the middle tree. Take a look at what it says in verse 3 and 4. God, sending his own Son, Romans 8 verse 3, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And in Titus 2 verse 14 we read these words, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And in Hebrews 13 verse 12 we read these words, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, that he might sanctify his church, that he might sanctify his redeemed, with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You know why your sins are forgiven tonight, child of God? Because of the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross. Because of the work of redemption. Do you know why you have faith in Christ tonight? Do you know why you have been able to repent of your sin? Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the work that was accomplished upon the cross. You know why you're regenerated tonight? You know why you've got the new birth? You know why your sins are forgiven? You know why you've been justified? You know why you've been adopted into the family of God? You know why that work of sanctification is being done in your life? It's because of what Christ has accomplished on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. Not because there's anything good in you or anything good in me. The very work of sanctification is a work that God does within us. It's the work of God's free grace. When we talk about the work of sanctification, we're not talking about our works. We're talking about his works. We're not talking about what we can do or what we have done. We're talking about what He has done and what He is doing and what He will do. Because although the work of sanctification begins at conversion, it ends in glory. And thank God, the reason why it is all possible is because the Lord Jesus laid down His life a ransom for the many. Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Oh, come with me tonight, visit Calvary where my Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain, 'tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. And the truth is, dear child of God, you and I can live for the Lord tonight. We can be holy. We can turn away from sin. We can know what victory is in our Christian lives because of the victory of the cross. Because of the victory of the cross. There are many of God's people today, and I've already made reference, and they're backslidden, and they can't get victory over sin, this sin or that sin or some other sin. And they don't understand why they can't. Because they're not using the means of grace, and they're not living for the Lord, and they're not looking unto the Lord. They're looking to themselves. They think that they have to do this and that and the other. My friend, listen. The Bible tells us that Christ has accomplished our redemption and our salvation. And thank God it's a full and a free and a complete salvation. And the one who has given us grace in order to save us is the one who will give us grace to live for Him day by day. And the grace that He gives us to live for Him, that grace will also enable us to turn away from sin as we look to Him. And as we read His word and obey His word and seek to live according to His word. It is possible to live a victorious Christian life. Oh, I wonder tonight, what does the cross mean to you? What does this wonderful subject of salvation mean to you? Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved. You're not saved. You're seeking to live a good life. Seeking to live and walk on the clean side of the broad road. My friend, in many ways, that's very commendable. But the truth is this, your heart is still black with sin. For until you come to the cross and repent your sin and by faith accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, until you have your sins forgiven, until you're adopted into God's family, until that work of justification has been done in your life, until that work of sanctification has begun in your heart, then you'll never know anything of the assurance of God's salvation. Do you know that you're going to heaven tonight? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Well, I know I'm on my way to heaven, and there are many others here tonight, and they know that if they were to die right now, they would be in heaven. There's no greater blessing than that. My friend, I don't care what you own or what you will own in the future. I don't care what you will possess. If it were possible for you to own and possess this whole world, there's nothing worth more than knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're in the family of God, and that you're going home to glory and heaven someday. There's no greater blessing than to know and have the assurance of that. Have you that assurance? Oh, I pray if you haven't, that you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we know, Lord, even tonight again, as we have considered this subject, that we have only scratched the surface, Lord, there's much more to say. But Lord, give us a burden and give us a desire to want to know what the Bible teaches on these subjects. Oh God, we thank Thee for the work of sanctification. Lord, the very fact that those of us who are saved, we want to live a holy life, that in itself, Lord, is a miracle. But Lord, there was a time we wanted our sin. There was a time, Lord, we wanted to run after the world. There was a time, Lord, that we wanted the filth of this age. But now, Lord, we want the things of God. We want to pray. We want to live those holy lives. We want, Lord, to walk with thee. Oh God, that's surely a miracle. And Lord, surely conversion is a miracle. Sanctification is a miracle. Walking in holiness is a miracle. A miracle that only God can give. Oh God, I pray that some poor soul here tonight would realize that they need something more than just religion. They need something more than just good works. They need something more than just living an upright life. They need the Lord in their life. They need salvation. They need God's redemption. Oh God, bless your word to the salvation of souls. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing a few verses of hymn 413 in closing. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide with him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. We're going to sing the first three verses only, and we'll stand as we sing 413. Amen. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege of being a Christian, privilege of being saved. We just pray tonight, Lord, for those who are still outside the family and fold of God, that even they would come to thee this evening. Bless the hearts of your people. O God, we thank thee for your saints. We thank thee, Lord, for your mercy to us. O God, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. O God, help us to die unto sin and to die unto self. Help us to live unto thee. O God, we pray, do pray earnestly that that work of sanctification will be done in our lives. And Lord, that we might be continually in thy word, day by day. Bless your word to our hearts. O God, may it sanctify our hearts. May it sanctify our lives. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.